What difference does it really make in a child's life if you teach them how to work? I don't mean to do their schoolwork, but I mean to do actual physical labor. And even if you know that that's important, how do we make that happen in a world that is no longer, at least here in the United States, primarily an agricultural system? Yes, there are still farms, there's still agriculture is still a huge part of our economy, but statistically, the number of kids growing up on farms and in agricultural settings is far less than it has been in years and decades past. So what do you have kids do besides just clean up their rooms? And even that can be a major struggle.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you are a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
The third chapter of Nehemiah probably isn't the go-to chapter to address this issue, but it's got some rich insights in there. If you didn't catch the episode on Tuesday that dives into this chapter, I encourage you to go back and to listen to that. That would be episode 67. At first glance, this chapter just kind of reads like wah, 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 wah. Most all of the chapter is a list of who does what in the rebuilding of these walls. And I dive into that on the last episode, so I don't want to repeat all of that here. But there are some principles that we can absolutely apply to us as parents as we are in the work of raising kids. The first is this: what you celebrate in your kids is going to be what they have a tendency to repeat. Now, don't get carried away with this, and don't think that if you don't throw some sort of party or have a three-ring circus every time that your child does something, especially if it's a regular ongoing chore, that all of a sudden they're gonna stop doing it, and it's just gonna be this big battle. If that's the case, you got a bigger issue on your hands. But there is something in the human heart that has a desire to be affirmed, to be recognized, to have our accomplishments recognized and appreciated and even celebrated. So while we don't want to become extreme and obnoxious with that, or maybe raise obnoxious kids with that, okay, this isn't part of that everybody gets a blue ribbon kind of mentality, which doesn't work and never has and never will, because it doesn't align with human nature. We don't want to go to that extreme, but at the same time, we don't want to go to the other extreme that we're not intentional to create moments and experiences of celebration. Now, this might be something as simple as having a celebratory dinner when a child accomplishes something. It can be at home, it can be out. Maybe it's cooking the foods that they like. Maybe it's that you have a special plate or placemat that kids get to use when they have really accomplished something that's worth celebrating. Look for opportunities like that. You know, it's true that most adults are not walking around with an excess of encouragement. I mean, when was the last time that you looked at yourself and said, you know, I have so much encouragement in my life, so much affirmation, so many people that are celebrating me. I think I need to tone this down a little bit. I think the next time that somebody begins to encourage me, I need to just stop them and go, oh, wait, sorry, no. You know, my encouragement bucket is overflowing. I think that's on overload. Please, please save that for somebody else. If you're in that category, would you just send them my direction? Because I don't live in that world. And the reality is, we don't, because there's so many messages that come to us either externally or internally that are condemning and judgmental. But what we do is we don't make time to celebrate the accomplishments and the things that we do get done. And we also want to be intentional that we make that time for our kids as well. You know, sometimes those simple things that we do that aren't expected, that aren't because they're tied to a date on the calendar, like a holiday or a birthday, can have the most impact in a child. The second insight that we get from this third chapter of Nehemiah is that we need to teach life skills to our kids simply because they need to know how to handle themselves in a lot of situations. You know, we saw in the last episode how there were goldsmiths and perfumers who went to work rebuilding this wall. Okay, this was way outside their comfort zone, and it was way outside their career field. Especially as kids get older, you don't want to make the mistake of thinking, well, this seems to be their areas of interest or their career field, so they don't need to learn all of these things over here. What builds confidence in a person is when they are able to handle themselves in a variety of situations, especially the ones that are not common to them. There are things every person ought to be able to do simply because of the world in which we live. Everybody should be computer literate. Okay, if you're 97 at this point, maybe that's not a requirement, but I'm talking to parents raising kids here. Your kids need to have computer literacy. Now, I can hear most of you are like, are you kidding me? My kids understand technology far more than I do. Literacy is not their issue. But I want you to think in terms of how you're defining literacy, because what the computer and technology will look like 10 years from now is going to be very different than what it is now. And I am no expert in that field, so I can't tell you exactly all the literacy skills that they're going to need. But as you become aware of and mindful and keep an eye to the future, think of the things that they will need to do that maybe at one time, I mean, it was just a specialty niche. Everybody at this point probably needs to understand how to do some level of audio and video, because that's probably here to stay. The other thing, as we look at this, is everybody has to eat. That means everybody needs to know how to cook. Everybody wears clothes. That means everybody needs to know how to do their laundry, how to sew on a button, how to do a minor repair. No, you don't need to, everybody doesn't have to learn how to alter an entire suit jacket. But there are some basic things that everybody ought to learn how to do. And it doesn't matter whether they are boys or girls. Everybody ought to learn how to change a tire. If you're driving a car, you ought to learn how to change a tire. You ought to learn how to be able to jumpstart a vehicle safely. Doesn't mean you have to learn how to rebuild an engine, but the types of basic skills that can make a difference in whether somebody is able to handle themselves in an emergency situation or not matters. Everybody needs to have basic financial literacy. And so as we look at these things and as we're raising our kids, then we have to be intentional about this, because it doesn't just happen by default anymore. It only happens when parents are intentional to say, ah, these are the skill sets that my kid needs to have. When and how are we going to teach them? Another principle that we can see from this chapter, and this is very important, and that is, don't let your kids think that certain types of work is beneath them. Okay, we read that where some of the lords in Nehemiah's day felt that they would not stoop to get involved in this work. This was beneath them. They didn't do this level of manual labor. It's easy for kids growing up today here in the States to really go through their entire childhood and never have to do any kind of hard manual physical labor, and that is a detriment to them. Don't let your kids get so accustomed to only certain types of work that they look down on and think it would be beneath them if they had to go shovel out a horse pen, if they have to go take out the trash, which some people are even asking, you know, can my 16-year-old be expected to take out the trash? Which I think is hilarious, because at the very same time, you're handing them the car keys so they can go driving down the road at 70 miles an hour, putting themselves and everybody else at risk. And you're wondering if they can be relied on to take out the trash and run a washing machine and run a dryer and do their own laundry. Be intentional to introduce your children to lots of different types of work, and don't let them get by with thinking and developing an attitude that says, that's beneath me. Even if you can afford to have people come in and do different types of work, it's still an advantage to have your kids be in situations, whether it's in your own home or it's in service opportunities, or maybe it's just helping a neighbor, where they don't get an idea that, well, I am capable of this kind of work, but other people who are beneath me, that's their kind of work to do. The last insight that we can see in this chapter is, when possible, and this is not in replacement of having kids do work just because it needs to be done, or just because it teaches them not to evaluate certain kinds of work as beneath them. But there is also, in addition to that, this other principle that is, when possible, have kids do work, especially if it's ongoing labor or maybe it's a long project that is connected to something of value to them, and direct value, not like, well, you need to do this work because 15 years from now, you're really going to benefit from that. Yes, that has a place, but there's also this factor that we care about the things that we recognize have a direct impact on us. One of the notes that Nehemiah makes several places in this third chapter is, when people were responsible for rebuilding the wall that was connected to or near their house. And he does this because he recognizes human nature is, we value those things and we're willing to do the work for those things and have a more direct impact on us, where we have a vested interest. So add this in to your children's work resume and their chores, that what has value to them, and see if you can find a way to connect some sort of work to that, which also helps them to understand that things just don't get handed to us in life. There's somebody works in order for us to be able to have every tangible item that we have, and even every opportunity that we have. Somebody has worked to make that possible. All right, so those are four insights that you can start applying today. Or if you're already applying those, pat yourself on the back, because, yeah, celebrate that. Because what gets celebrated gets repeated. And remember this, my friend, it's true for you as an individual, and it's absolutely true for you as a parent. You do have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.